Hi, everybody. Welcome to Triplicity, your favorite astrology podcast where your three astro besties, Darren, Jaysha, and Jared, Deja, and John talk shit, spill the tea, and maybe talk about astrology if you're lucky. Currently, it is just after 2 p.m. Eastern time on December 26th, 2023. And we're here to start with the 2024 overview. So part one of the 2024 year ahead forecast.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Part banana, one of X. Part one
of X. Crying.
Banana bread at work. Hell yeah.
Hi, friends.
Hello.
Hi, enemies. Merry Christmas. It was the pagan Christmas holiday. Just happened.
A festive Yule to all of us.
Merry Christmas.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does anybody have any like astrology things that have been happening recently? Here's my astrology thing that happened recently. Last night was, you know, full moon, and I took the trash out and it was rainy all day. And then as I took the trash out, the clouds rolled back and revealed a very bright, shiny moon, and I twirled around in my backyard. That's how to be an astrologer, everybody. So 1 a.m. twirl in the backyard under the light of the moon and, you know, maybe cry a little. Feels good.
I love that.
Last night at Christmas dessert, my aunt was showing me like one of those like sky viewing apps. She's like, oh my god, ooh, have you heard about this?
I'm crying.
Isn't that so crazy that I have? And I was like, but I also just like don't really need it.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, like I pretty much, if I just like look in the sky and I'm like, oh, that's probably Jupiter. Like 90% of the time I'm like, right. Like it's pretty bright. It's in this part of the sky at this time. And she was like, really? You can do that? And I was like,
yeah.
You're like, what do you think I do?
Yeah, it's like, I know most of the big ones that are up there.
Yeah. Like, I can't tell you where, like, Betelgeuse is all the time. But, like, if you're like, where's Mars? I'm like, oh, he's probably right there.
And you know what? I bet if Betelgeuse was visible in the sky, you would be able to say, that's Betelgeuse, because it's the shoulder of Orion, which is, like, super obvious in the sky. So...
yeah, constellations, I can't do the zodiac, most of them I can fill in, but mm-hmm, like apart from that,
no,
like I don't know where the other ones are. Actually, no, I can't find Orion. I do know where Orion is.
I know Orion because it looks like that.
Yeah, he's like, hey,
crying. I know the Big Dipper and those, the two clusters of three dots, three stars. I don't know who they are, but. Have you ever seen they're like lined up perfectly, but it's not the Big Dipper because that's more of a curve. But like, and I think the middle one is a little bit to the left. I think. I don't know what they are, but I see them.
In the northern, like next to the Dipper? Is it the Little Dipper?
No.
Because the Little Dipper is the North Star. So
yeah, I don't.
You have the Big Dipper, right, which has a handle, and then like the ladle,
right?
The two stars at the ladle, like at the end of the ladle. If you draw a line and follow that line north
straight,
they point to the North Star, which is the handle of the Little Dipper.
Right. No, I don't think it's that one. Those.
Maybe you'll have to use that night sky app and let us know.
I may have to. I'll get back to you guys on that. The planets, though, we're good.
Mars, planets, Jupiter, that little dim one over there is Saturn. Haven't seen Mercury in God knows how long.
Never. I've never seen Mercury.
I saw it once with Zach for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared. Wow. It was like literally the most mercurial
thing.
Yeah.
It was there and we were like, is that it? Oh my God, I think that's it. And then it disappeared. And we were like,
that's been my experience with Mercury as well. It's like, I think I've seen it once right at sunrise. Was it actually Mercury? But a little dot was there right at the horizon for about 15 seconds. And then the sun came up. So
probably.
Yeah. Never. I've never been, never gotten the honors. It's okay though.
2024
Saturn in early Pisces, Jupiter in early Taurus, Venus in early Sag, Mars, Mercury very late Sag, North Node 21 Aries. Blueprint of the sky, the beginning of the year.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
Cute. January, I think, is my favorite.
Really?
I think. I haven't really like looked at it super hard, but I'm just ready for Mars and Cap and Venus and Cap too. And Venus and Sag.
Yeah.
And a direct Mercury. Maybe I'll take that back. Just the Mars Venus conjunction in Aquarius would be my close second fave thing. Oh my God, are they applying to Jupiter when they do that? It looks like they are. Or maybe they're, wait, is that? Okay, sorry. But yeah, I think January's, it's looking okay. It looks like a good month to get things moving. To kick off your year.
I mean, like, yeah, like the Mercury station direct on like literally Gen 1.
At the beginning.
Mars into Capricorn, Mercury into Capricorn, Venus into Capricorn. Like, yeah, so it's all like, okay, we are getting out. We have passed the darkest day. Like it is behind us. Let's move forward. It's time to pick things back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is definitely like, it's nice when the astrology lines up with the calendar, you know, because there is very much like a, okay, things are moving in a different direction now, like new year, new me, like we like, and I think really with everything going through Capricorn, it's like foundational for the year with like the Mars Venus stuff going through Capricorn, Mercury's now going back direct through Capricorn, a lot of like, here's the blueprint of what it's going to look like is kind of shown there. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's a great time to like finish the top floor of the building, but like, it's a good time to like look at a blueprint, break ground, like start something. But it's very like, don't look for a finished product. Not yet.
Mm.
I like that. We were talking in the pre-show chat about Jupiter and Taurus not really giving a whole lot thus far, and I was saying that I'm excited for Venus and Sag, because although they are averse, there's still this exchange of domicile rulership. So I think that will liven up Jupiter and Taurus, and that is for like most of the month. Venus doesn't move into Capricorn until the 23rd, so for most of the month we get this nice Venus Jupiter parivartana where they're exchanging signs, even though they're not in traditional aspect.
No, that should be cute.
And this is the first Venus in Sag with Jupiter in Taurus.
Yes.
We decided, right? Like,
yes, this is the first time they will be exchanging.
Decided. We decided. We spent a lot of time in the pre-show talking about the Venus-Jupiter connections.
Crying.
Sometimes we know the sky, sometimes we don't. but yeah, this is, I'm excited to see. I think, Deja, that Venus and Sag is really exciting for January. Like you were saying, like being excited about January for that reason. Because this is the first time that we're getting, even though it's an aversion, we're getting that exchange with Jupiter in Sagittarius, which is exciting.
Yeah. We also will get the Pluto Kazemi happen just before the Sun ingresses into Aquarius, which is crazy. Mm.
Right.
Pluto getting the ear of the king. Sitting on the throne, on the lap of the king.
At like 29, like 50 Capricorn. Like,
come on, descendant.
Edging into Aquarius.
A Pluto Kazemi on my descendant. I wonder what's going to happen.
Transformation.
As if Pluto conjunctions with the sun have not been happening at 28, 29 Aquarius. Or
Capricorn for like 3 years.
Crying.
The only thing that I don't love about this time of the year is that towards the end of the month we start getting the Mercury, Venus, Mars to pass over the southern bending point, because the nodes are at like 20, 19, 20 of Aries, Libra at this point. So as these planets move into the third decan of the sign, we get this, they hit that southern bending point.
Mm.
Kind of all back to back.
Damn.
It's, yeah, Mercury is on the 27th, Mars on the 28th, and then Venus is February 6th. So all in this like last week of January into first week of February, we get these three planets moving, hitting that southern bending point.
Yeah. This is also the last time the Sun-Pluto conjunction happens in Capricorn.
Oh, wow.
We don't get another one?
This is the last one, because 2024, it's one Aquarius.
Hmm.
So this is the last... That's interesting.
That is interesting.
It would be interesting tracking Sun-Pluto conjunctions and seeing... I feel like especially with like war or like really global, like mm-hmm. widespread events, seeing... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those,
yeah, like does a power appear at that point?
Yeah, like even like what was the global like powerhouse during mm-hmm. this era of Sun-Pluto conjunctions?
Yeah,
interesting.
That is interesting.
I do like the Mars-Jupiter trine that happens basically all month in January. Favorite part of
yes,
January. The Mars really nice. Exalted Mars trine Jupiter in Taurus.
Yeah,
that's because cool.
It's like do the thing, but do it at like your own speed.
Yeah, and it's very like, and it's Earth, so it's do the thing, make it real, make it physical, material. And yeah, there's not a need to rush with it, which a lot of Mars things kind of require a rush. But this one doesn't, which is I think one of the things that I like about Exalted Mars specifically is that like it's less concerned with doing it quickly and more concerned with doing it right.
Right. Yeah.
And like, which is good, right? That's like exaltation. it brings like something good to the table for the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just really excited for Mars to be just in a cardinal sign again.
Yeah.
Making things happen, really just trying to get the results.
A cardinal sign that it doesn't have debility.
Right. Exactly. like we're just breaking ground and we don't have to worry about, you know, it's going to be really nice. I mean, maybe it won't be okay, but it'll be invigorating, I guess is the word.
We also get some pretty nice, not even some of them are soft, but like we get Mercury Jupiter trine towards like the middle of the month, we get Sun Jupiter square, we get Mercury Mars conjunction, we get Venus sextile Saturn, Venus trine Jupiter, all of these things happening towards the middle to the end of the month. So although things are a lot of activity is in the Saturn signs, there is still this like softness there that is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's we have the outers, Jupiter, Saturn in Earth water, right? So when things are going through Earth water, like it's like, oh, things become a little bit easier, except for Virgo right now and except for Scorpio, right? Because that creates like opposition tension. But right now, like when we're in Capricorn, Pisces, Taurus, Cancer, it's like, oh, everybody's in agreement. Like we can all agree on the thing.
The right having sects.
Yeah. The sextile circle jerk.
Yeah.
Crying. Yeah. It'll be nice. It'll be cute. I'm excited for the Cap Pisces sextile especially. I don't know. Yeah. I just love Capricorn and Pisces just together. Like I feel like Cap is like, bring it in. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. But it's not like everything's going to be amazing and life is worth living again sort of vibes, but if you've been in a lull, maybe this is a good pick me up,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get things done.
Yeah, and it's I think it's like because it's Capricorn and then the thing that's in Pisces is Saturn, I don't want to be like you're coming out of a lull into like a party. It's like you're coming out of a lull into like
study
you've
hall.
Got something that needs to get done. Yeah, study yeah. hall. Study hall. Like you you have a little bit of work to do.
Yeah.
But you have the means, patience, attention, focus to do it.
Yeah. Like, it'd be good for kids going back to school.
Yeah.
You know? So anyone Ooh. In college.
It is like a nice, like, we're not at full speed on the first day of the semester. Like, let's take these first kind of few weeks and
figure it
transition
out.
And
yeah. Oh, I miss going back to college.
Oh,
not
I
really,
back to school.
But I miss it.
I loved it. It was so fun.
It was, I miss college so much. Whatever.
I miss college being in choir. I don't miss college being poor.
Yeah.
Yes. I like having an adult salary
True. That's I get that. Yep. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. Oh. What a time. It's like now starting to feel like a memory.
Yeah.
You know, before it was like, oh, I was just an undergrad. Now it's like, remember when I went to college? It's so crazy.
That shit was crazy.
It was. It really
remember
was.
When I paid to traumatize myself?
Yeah.
Right.
That shit was crazy.
Like, what? Crazy stuff. February.
Last highlight of January, full moon is cute. Full moon in Leo applying to Jupiter and Taurus.
I do like that. That's cute. Fierce.
Oh, that is.
What degree is it at?
5. And Jupiter is at like 6 or 7.
Okay. I so like the idea of, I guess then it's probably going to be kind of voidish after the full moon.
Probably.
When is it?
Yeah, it doesn't have an aspect until it. Ooh. After the Jupiter square, it is void until the Jupiter square
opposition.
Oh my God.
It is void until it trines Venus and Virgo. So there will be probably 2 full days because Venus will be at like 3 or 4 degrees of Cap.
Oh, Venus and Cap. Yeah.
That's cool. I kind of like that, honestly. Like a void Leo moon with everything that happened in Leo in the past year, right? Yeah. Like getting a void moon there is very like.
It's Bender
racing
season.
The whiteboard vibes. Like,
Ooh, I actually should be finished with like a good chunk of all of my web design client or projects by then. So that is actually, it's a wipe down for sure. Like, we're done.
Yeah, it's time to like, we got to make space for more stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that moon, it is averse to everything other than the sun and Jupiter.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited for that like Regulus conjunction where like the moon doesn't have a lot to do, is just kind of,
it's literally
being,
it will hit
bright
Venus 2 degrees later, like, by trine. Yeah. Like so nice.
Yeah, that it's being nice. Bright, it's cooling off, so it's not as like, it's not super hot anymore at the end of Leo. That might be some sort of Regulus thing, that Regulus moon, because it's not hitting it, like the moon is applying to Venus even though it's across a sign boundary. Like if you're looking specifically for Regulus,
you get
got,
this at least in the East Coast, you get Jupiter rising moon in at 28 Leo, so like almost on Regulus. Venus hour, Venus in the ninth, like trining Jupiter and the ascendant, like it's so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, once the moon actually hits Regulus in early Virgo, I mean, it's Cancer rising here, which really isn't bad.
Yeah.
You get angular Mars in a day chart, which sucks, but.
Yeah. I wonder what the like Regulus at the midheaven looks like. Just because if you're doing like fixed star
shit,
that's what I learned, is like, let's put that on the ascendant or the midheaven and make sure that the rest of the chart isn't disruptive of it.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Ooh, Regulus on the Ascendant isn't cute because you get Saturn in a Deter on the Descendant.
Yeah.
That one's not cute.
We'll go to the Midheaven.
We'll go
so
to the
Saturn's. Mid-heaven. Saturn's in the fifth, right? Is that how that? No, that's not how that works.
Saturn could be in the third, fourth, or fifth.
Third, other direction. I went down it that way. February.
Not cute. Other than Mars Venus, bad.
Yeah, it's pretty mid.
Yeah.
Pretty mid. I do really like Mars and Venus, though.
I live Mars and Venus, but it's in Aquarius.
I know.
I understand. I understand that you have a personal connection to this transit.
Yeah. It is kind of mid, though.
I do like that Jupiter is involved in this, like, with
yes.
The solar. Like, that's
that is
that's
true.
Sexy. Yeah.
I think that makes it better. More enjoyable.
And, like, Mercury is still there, barely.
I was going to say, this feels very good for the air sign stuff. Because you've got, like, Jupiter contact coming in as a triplicity lord. You've got Mercury there supporting the sign from triplicity.
Go make some friends.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I would say is these planets are very much, like, Venus and Mars are, like, out of sect in Aquarius, like they and their mourning phase as well, so they're like kind of double out of sect. So it, and I think this is where it's an important note to hold, like, natally and transits different from elections and, like, magic. Like, these are different things.
They're different branches of a
so service, like, would I elect it? Maybe not.
No.
Would I love it as a transit if it was hitting a cute part of my chart? Absolutely.
Like, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree.
The conjunction happens, I think, like, on my Jupiter placement almost exactly.
No, that's too early.
I lied to you. It's too early.
Yeah.
And it's in the first decan, right?
Yeah, 657, so almost 7 degrees.
So same place in the... Oh, Fomalhaut.
No.
That's a
right?
Pisces?
Fomalhaut is in
Pisces.
Sidereal.
Sorry,
Pisces.
My brain was thinking Pisces when we were talking about this. Sorry.
Or Sidereal.
Because I looked over here and I was looking at February 23rd where Mercury goes into Pisces and I was looking at the Pisces glyph. No, it's in the same part of the sky where the Great Conjunction was, which is important to note because 2024 is when we get the first hard aspect of Saturn Jupiter since the Great Conjunction.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, hate to bring up 2020 again.
Right.
But that's what we hearken back to whenever things hit this spot, is like that moment of the Great Conjunction at zero Aquarius. So
the sun will be on Fomalhaut for the Mars Venus conjunction.
Oh, cute.
Oh, that's cute. Okay, so not too far
that's
off.
What it is. I was like, I know Fomalhaut is involved for sure. Yeah, that's the involvement.
Crying. Yeah, it's pretty mid. But it is cute, I guess. The Mars, Venus, and Aquarius. Neither of them do anything. They're both just kind of wandering. And they're not really getting much help. But I agree. Yeah. I think Jupiter, them applying to Jupiter, is helpful and fun.
And fun.
So yeah. Have some fun.
It's rowdy. It's a little rowdy.
It is. And the moon's in Leo this day too, so.
Nice.
Go crazy.
That is good. The moon in Leo.
Yeah.
That is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I also, John, I think you maybe mentioned this in the pre-show, but I love the double Kazemi that happens with Mercury and Saturn. That's cool.
Same day. It's oh my God.
And it's like it's also a leap year, right? So there's like an extra day There's another day after that. Yeah, it's really bizarre.
Wow.
At 9 Pisces. That's kind of cool. Like, I think that's like poetic policy, because like Saturn, Mercury, Pisces, I like that.
That is interesting.
Right after the full moon.
Is this our first Saturn Kazemi in... This is our first Saturn Kazemi in Pisces. Or did it... No. Yes. No. Yeah. No, yeah. Because last year, didn't Saturn go into Pisces like later in Pisces season? Or am I making that up?
Saturn went into Pisces, yeah, later in Pisces season. Yeah.
Wow.
The last Kazemi was at like 28 Aquarius because it was on my midheaven. Yep. I remember.
Interesting. So the last Pluto Kazemi in a nocturnal sign, followed by the first Saturn Kazemi.
I'm so sorry.
I have to tap out. Every time you say it, I just cannot help but laugh. Oh my God. I'm crying.
It's only February. I have to tap out.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And then a Neptune Kazemi right after.
Oh my God. Wait, Mars Venus is also important. I forgot, because this is the first time Mars and Venus have kissed since I don't even remember. And because the last everyone was all Mars and
last
Venus.
Last time was when they had that like flip floppy one.
Yeah. And they
were in like Capricorn Aquarius area.
Oh yeah.
And it happened like a few times.
It did.
No, the same thing happened, but didn't it happen Leo Virgo? Wasn't there a...
Yes, after Venus retrograde. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it did. I think you're right. I don't think they ever actually hit each other.
They didn't hit each other.
But they were edging. So this is the first hit after that edging sesh.
Yeah.
Long time coming. Literally.
Literally.
Crying. Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what unfolds.
We get, in the middle of the month, we get Venus before the conjunction. So the conjunction is exact on the 22nd, and it happens in early Aquarius. Mars moves into Aquarius on the 13th, hits Pluto on the 14th. Venus moves into Aquarius on the 16th, hits Pluto on the 17th. So we get these really big hits to Pluto in early Aquarius.
Lots of transformation.
On and around Valentine's Day, so...
Oh, I forgot that.
Y'all bitches who are going to make those little Scorpio babies on Valentine's Day, be careful.
Yeah, maybe don't make the Antichrist on the Pluto conjunction.
Maybe don't conceive under a Pluto-Mars conjunction. Don't do it.
Wait, did you guys know? This is so random. Did Jesus have siblings?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Someone tweeted that. Right? I don't know. Someone tweeted it and they were like, I knew someone with an only child would never die for other people's sins or something like that. Just die. So funny. Well, only children have been getting lots of slander on my Twitter timeline. I don't know why, but it's just a funny little thing I've been noticing.
He had a brother named sibling,
right? Because Mary was still a virgin when she had him.
Yes. He had a sibling named James, a sibling named Joseph, a sibling named Judas, a sibling named Simon, a sibling named Salome, and a sibling named Mary, like two sisters whose names are kind of disputed according to the Google source that I just Googled really quickly.
Wow. That is an oldest.
That is a parentified child move right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. He had older cousins, because like I think wasn't John the Baptist his cousin?
Yeah.
Because Mary's sister was John the Baptist's mother. Because
they met, they're like, oh my God, we're pregnant.
Yeah, and then John the Baptist like went into the desert and like cried out to prepare the way for the Lord, and then baptized Jesus.
Wow, I almost forgot about that one. That little anecdote.
Y'all religion is crazy.
It's
mythology, baby.
Literally is so wild.
It really is. We'd be so much better off if we all just took it
like myth.
Myth.
Yeah.
Because it's cute. And
honored it. It's cute. Thought about it. Applied right. its lessons to our life.
And you move on.
But you don't have to accept it as like truth. Capital Dead T. T posed. Capital T in truth is for the cross. T posed like Jesus on the cross.
I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, this is a side thing, but Deja, I listened to your episode of SP's podcast.
Oh yeah.
And I loved it, by the way. I loved it. Excellent episode. But I loved the part when you were talking about like evangelical lifestyle and like growing up that way and like ninth house son. And I just kept thinking about like all of our bits on this podcast, like prayer requests.
It's all that. It's the aesthetic. I'm a little nervous that people think that I'm actually like a Christian, but like I still definitely like, what's the word? It's not even appropriation. I guess it is. I definitely still appropriate Christian culture. Because it's funny. Like, it's so funny.
I do it for the bit. It's funny.
I do. And, like, I don't know. It's just hilarious to me. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun to record. I felt like we were both just vibing.
It was very Sagittarius. I love it so much.
I always forget that his son is in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in Sidereal Sag in the first.
Mm.
So I'm like, he's just like, SP is Jupiter. Like when I think of the like prophetic, like religious Jupiter, I'm like, he looks like SP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was when he posted his solar return the other day on X.
On X, which sounds like a porn site. I mean, which it kind of is, but like,
that's all I use it for now.
I mean, I like barely log into Astro Twitter. There's no good drama there anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's go ahead. Sorry.
I saw a tweet that Threads is on and popping, but I don't know how to dip my toe into that water.
I'm not sure if I want to do that.
Maybe Pluto and Aquarius will bring me into Threads.
I'm crying. Because I just feel like are like regular people on Threads? Or is it just
are the astrologers?
Astrologers like, and brands.
Right, exactly. That's how it feels. It feels like it just got to a point and I was like, And I also like want tea. And you guys are trying to like mimic Instagram, but in words. And no, we're here to curse. So that's why I just went back to Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it's social media doesn't have the spark that it used to.
No.
And I'm actually okay with that. I'm like,
I'm at peace.
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay that I like will get on Twitter for like 3 minutes at a time versus like what I used to, where you used to just like kind of scroll and scroll and scroll.
Mindlessly, yeah.
I don't know about you all. This is gonna be out of pocket. I have had the weirdest urge lately on TikTok to whenever a TikTok comes across that I just think is stupid. It is hard for me not to let the creator know.
I'm dead. I get it.
Like, it's hard for me not to be like, you really came out here onto God's internet to, like, say doing this.
Bullshit. Yeah. You should. You should. I try not to troll on TikTok, but I also just, whenever I see something I don't like, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, not interested. Not interested. Yeah, not interested.
Yeah. Just like, I don't really use it.
TikTok?
My algorithm is just like never.
Don't start. Just amazing. Leave it.
I think I should leave it like that.
Yes.
When I had to get a new phone, it like did something to my it carried over my profile, but it didn't like transfer my algorithm over, I guess, correctly.
Like something weird happened.
It used to be like I spent hours on TikTok. And now I'm just like, this isn't, I keep getting all these TikToks for like teachers like doing things in their classroom. And I'm like, I don't know, TikTok, what you think I do.
Interesting.
I make a joke that I'm a professional babysitter because it feels that way sometimes. But like, that's I'm not a teacher. Like,
I'm not a teacher.
Interesting.
I figure I get teacher TikToks because that's like what my friends are doing. Like, all of my college friends are all teachers. So I figure that's their algorithm, like, seeping into mine.
Interesting. I think something TikTok has been weird. It started being weird like a few months ago, I think.
Weird when the Palestine situation happened.
There's just been like, it's been weird. It like will keep showing me videos that I've already seen before. Sometimes like I'll scroll and I'm like seeing videos in the same order that I saw them in previously, and I think I'm like going crazy for a second. But no, TikTok, what a land.
Yeah, I also, the conspiracy theory, wonder how much of it is our government being like, we like TikTok, so we're gonna scramble the shit.
I think they moved their database or whatever. Again, found this out on TikTok, so I did not do any verifying.
It could be fake news.
That's true. But something about like whatever happened with them trying to ban TikTok, was that this year?
Yeah.
Sierra's felt genuinely so long.
It felt like long and like not real, and it, like, it felt like a filler episode. This year felt a filler episode.
Dark House, like,
yeah,
like Idol Place. It feels Eighth Housey, like, yeah.
There was movement, but it wasn't
crazy.
Yeah,
it wasn't drastic. And if there was movement, it didn't last.
Yeah.
It, like, quickly fizzled. So, I don't know. Yeah, one really did anything cool this year. I don't think.
I just, like, it feels like with January, we get this, like, okay, we're in, like, a fresh new place. Like, the year is truly, like, starting. And then February is just, like, is it starting, though?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You get the Pluto hits, but like.
And then, well, and then the end of February feels like.
With the double Kazemi.
Yeah. Like, oh, things are maybe going in a direction that nobody anticipated.
Yeah, kind of. Like, yeah. Like. And then we get the bonus day, and then it's like, okay, back to normal.
Yeah. And then it's crying. March. Like, and March is relatively chill. Like,
yeah.
We have an eclipse at the very end of March, but like up until then.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Pretty quiet.
It kind of builds up to all of the eclipse, and then when all the other planets will then hit Rahu.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of it feels like we're moving towards that now.
Yeah.
Like February and March, there's like the Pluto stuff, and there's like the Mars Venus conjunction. There's a Venus Saturn conjunction in there at some point, but like then that's really it until the eclipses.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, Venus Saturn is just after the sun moves into Aries. Mars into Pisces, which like, okay. Both Malefics in Pisces now. Yay. Not really.
Oh God. I think this is like the thing that I feel like is, to me, it feels like the thing that's like really formally introducing us into Saturn and Pisces, like for real this time. Like last year, it just kind of felt like, it also didn't get very far. But I feel like this is like the, we're getting shit moving.
All this
now
has felt like the like the prologue,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And now,
and
we're
this
like
is the
starting
main story. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I think it's fitting that it's still in the first decan. Right, it's like right at the very tail end,
and like
of the first decan, but it's still there.
And I think it comes back to the point that we made about this, like this being the first Pisces for Saturn.
True. Yeah.
Like because we haven't had one.
True.
We really haven't gotten.
Don't know.
Like.
Yeah.
Oh, like Saturn is here.
Right.
Yeah. Like the sun. I mean, I think this is like the zodiac is the sun's, like
right.
The whole thing is the, it like belongs to belongs the sun. And so it's, yeah, to like have this first check-in in this space. Yeah, it does feel like, okay, finally, this is what Saturn in Pisces is about, which is interesting when we think back to all of the predictions that were made about Saturn in Pisces with like the corruption of waters and things like that, of like,
oh, the submarine.
Yeah, like we had the submarine.
That was this year.
That was this year.
That was wild.
Sorry, go ahead. The war.
Well, and I think that we will see more of that come to light. You know, I think that's a good way to say the sun is doing something, is bringing things to light. As now that we've had this check-in with the sun, I think we might realize that a lot more has happened since Saturn went into Pisces than maybe we saw or understood.
I can see that. Have you guys heard of that 9-month cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
did that start in this December, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that started like a couple months ago.
January, February. I wonder when that... I'm just curious to see what it's going to be like. I don't know why anybody would decide to do that, but whatever.
I mean,
left December 10th.
Good practice for climate change, I guess.
September 10th.
Sorry, was that out of pocket?
I didn't even hear. What did you say?
I said it's good practice for climate change, I guess.
Oh. for Noah's Ark too.
I'm crying. Oh my god. Yeah, this is gonna be so messy. Whenever, as all that stuff comes out and people are on there for longer, that's going to be so messy. And also, because they're going to all these different countries too, so that'll be really, especially with Jupiter and Gemini too. Oh God. Oh God bless them.
What's really interesting is that it left 2 days before a Mercury station. So Mercury is slowing, like very, very slow. And in Capricorn, and arrives, returns when Mercury emerges from the beams in Virgo.
Wow.
Interesting.
Or emerges from shadow in Virgo.
Earth to Earth. Interesting.
Wow. Earth to Earth. Stations retrograde at 8 degrees of Capricorn and comes out of shadow at 6 Virgo. So an exact trine.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if it returns well before that or well after that.
You think?
I mean, a stationary Mercury on the day of the voyage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not great.
I mean.
Oh, and left with Moon in Scorpio.
Oh.
On the list of elections I would not get on a boat under.
The moon in Scorpio.
It is a void moon in Scorpio applying to square Saturn and Pisces.
I don't think it's going to make the full voyage.
That is not, they did not have an astrologer.
They're going to have to change ships halfway through. They're going to have to get off the boat, and a different boat is going to have to pick them up from some foreign country.
You think so?
That's my prediction. That's what I think is going to happen. Also, the thing that I've seen is people being like, the platinum tier members are being treated differently than everybody else. I'm like, yeah, that's how loyalty programs work.
That's the gig, mama.
Of course they have different amenities than you. They paid for the loyalty program.
Wild.
Yeah. Why are you shocked by this?
Did we not know that that's
how things work? Crying.
My check-in experience at Marriott as a platinum elite member is different than what it was when I was a silver member. It's a different experience when I walk into one of those hotels.
Crying. I can't believe they decided to do that. And my question is, like, they're supposed to be going to different countries. How are they, how did all those people get those travel visas to go to those countries?
So I think that was like part of it, is that they were helping people. But the big thing that is kind of the scandal of it is that they did not sell enough tickets for the global voyage. So they broke it up into segments and then discounted those segments. And people realized that they could buy each segment for cheaper than they could buy the whole voyage. And so a whole bunch of people like canceled their full voyage and booked all the segments.
You can choose to get off after like 2 months or like,
well, initially you couldn't, but they changed it because they didn't sell enough tickets that it's now segments. Some it's a logistical nightmare, right?
No, like, I just think about like like, imagine like you book that cruise and you're like a late 20s couple and like month two, oh my god, pregnant,
you're screwed.
Oh, you're gonna have a baby on this boat.
Oh,
what if you didn't know you were pregnant when you got
when
on the
got
ship?
On the boat,
like if you're in that first 4 to 6 weeks before you have any symptoms,
baby on the boat.
There is a baby on board. You
how
know
many
what?
Babies named Marina are we gonna get have on this I'm cruise, Mama?
Crying
or Ariel?
I'm dead.
She was like born on the sea. So we named her Ariel. It's spelled A-R-Y-E-L-L-L-L-E-X.
Do you think people went on the cruise with the plan of having their baby on the boat?
To become famous.
To become famous?
Some delusional white girl would do it.
You know what's crazy? Cruise ships have morgues. I mean, people die. You can't just dump the body in the sea.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap. We're good. I'm good. You will never catch me on a cruise. I was never going to get on a cruise to begin with, but now you're really not going to catch me on a cruise. Absolutely not. No. No way. No way. I am okay. No. 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 Something about that is just no.
Fucked up.
No. Just a no. Just a no. Just a no for me. It's a no for me. And my thing is like, it's just so big, such a huge vessel, and it's just ocean. Like,
yeah,
it's just
nothing
ocean
around.
Like, you're just in the middle of the
sea.
Like,
there
did
is
we
something
learn nothing from the Titanic?
Exactly. Like,
no, there really is something beautiful about being in the middle of the ocean and being able to just like do a 360 and be like, wow,
there's nothing around me.
Yeah,
it's beautiful for like a second.
When my parents and I went on our one through the Mediterranean.
That sounds fun, though.
We boated by an active fucking volcano.
Whoa.
It was so cool.
That's cool. Okay, but the Mediterranean Sea, I would do that because you're landlocked.
Can't get that far. Yeah,
exactly.
I was literally going to be like, yeah, give me the Mediterranean. That sounds fine.
It sounds great.
Do not put me in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Do not put me in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Nope.
No. Did you hear? Another cruise story that happened recently is this cruise left from Boston and was bound for the Bahamas, and there was weather. And so they had two options: cancel the cruise, or, which is what they did, they took the boat to Canada. They went up to St. John's, Newfoundland. Imagine booking a cruise, getting on the boat, thinking you are bound for the Bahamas, and then they take you to Canada in December. And you packed to go to the Bahamas.
I'd be pissed.
I'd be mad. Fucking pissed off.
I'd be mad. That'd be kind of cool though, because then you're like super cold, and then like all of a sudden it's hot.
I wonder if anyone was like, the way we're supposed to be going, the sun is supposed to rise on that side of the boat.
Why are we going north?
Rising on that side of the boat. Hmm.
Why is land over there?
Oh my god.
I looked up the first, because I'm crazy, I looked up the first maiden voyage of this ship. This ship sailed.
This is the year boat, right? The 9-month cruise boat?
Yes, the 9-month cruise boat, the Serenade of the Sea. First voyage, August 25th, 2003, just after a Venus Kazemi.
Oh, wow.
And the
just
like
after.
Venus.
Couldn't
Venus,
catch the Kazemi.
Yeah, just after. in like either early Virgo or super late Leo, but that is where Mercury is stationing, or well, Mercury will be moving out of shadow when the cruise comes back.
Wow. Maybe it'll be destroyed.
Yeah, like
and
I
this
said,
is all opposite of retrograde Mars in Pisces. Mars is in curtailed passage in Pisces on this maiden voyage. On Fomalhaut. Mars is on Fomalhaut, retrograde and curtailed passage.
I wonder if a whale is going to destroy the ship.
Ooh.
Like all those whales that were killing
yes,
boats.
The orcas. Yes. Oh, they were. They did make an appearance this year too. So yes, yeah. That would be so funny. Oh, dang, that's wild.
And this, if nothing else, this teaches us, book an astrologer for literally everything.
Especially a cruise. God.
More than a cruise, especially if you are a boat owner, check the sky before you put that boat in the water. I mean, in general, that's like the history of nautical tradition. Like,
I remember telling us about
sailors.
Yeah.
We've all heard the stupid stuff. Yeah.
Like, check the sky before you put your boat in the water. There's a lot of correlations between space and the sea. Like,
absolutely.
Well, that was a great tangent, guys. That was a good one.
That's quarter one.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know. Yeah. What are the dates for those? I never know. Like, what is quarter one?
January, February, March is quarter one.
Okay.
So like every 3 months.
Sure.
Yeah. Is a quarter.
But it starts on January. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're talking about it in terms of like the year, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, January, February, March. If it's a company, companies have their fiscal year end at different days, depending on what company it is. And your quarter one starts the day after your fiscal year end. So at a company that I worked for one time, our fiscal year end was October 20th every year. So October 21 was the start of Q1 for us.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah.
I hate straight white guys who make decisions like this.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that silly? I feel like it should just be universal. When I found out that certain companies have Q1 during certain times of the year, what's the point? What was the point of coming up with this concept if it wasn't going to be universalized for everybody?
Have your foundation date, but it's like, yeah, we were founded in quarter three.
Right, exactly, and move on. Like, so tax season is at the same time every year.
So
like,
during year one, we have, you know, our first year, we maybe only had two quarters in the year.
They'll be fine.
And we end the year with the lunar eclipse. That's really the quarter.
Yeah, in the quarter.
Sorry, in the quarter. Not the year. We end Q1 with.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
How does that one look? Not too
Libra,
bad, right?
Libra. Everything's in Pisces.
Pretty mid.
I mean. Everything except for the sun and moon is going to be averse to it.
Oh, damn.
So is this another void moon situation? Where's Mercury?
Mercury's at 23 Aries.
So not void, the moon, but it has a long time before it hits something.
I mean, it's got over 15, it's got over 13 degrees of motion until it hits anything.
Yeah.
If we're not counting the hit to K2, then yes.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't think hitting one of the nodes really cancels out being void.
Being void, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it does have an aspect
before it leaves the sign.
It has an aspect before it leaves the sign, but it has full day motion.
A full day motion where it's just chilling or hitting K2. Yeah.
Interesting.
Damn.
Well, that's an eclipse.
That's an eclipse.
With no support or help.
Nothing. And Mercury stations a week after this.
Fabulous.
So Mercury is slowing the fuck
down.
Slow,
slow, slow, slow.
Lovely.
And Venus is in Pisces, so she's averse to the eclipse, which is... I mean, like, yes, the ruler is exalted, but, like...
Yeah, aversion...
Not cute.
Does not cancel. Exaltation does not cancel aversion. Like...
Oh, dang. Well, that'll be fun. The eclipse.
Yeah. That's a way to say it. Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The last one was okay. The legal
I am
one?
Gonna pause because I need to go potty. So we will be back after a brief break.
Yay! Fine. Yay, we're back.
We're back. And
we also decided this is the end.
That's all.
That's all we have.
We did quarter one. We gave you a solid hour and a half of us just bullshitting about the astrology.
An hour.
Has it only been an hour?
An hour 15, maybe? An hour 10?
Okay. Okay.
That's good. good
content. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just be grateful. Enjoy. Don't post episodes that often.
I'm crying. Yeah.
Thank you to those of you who were our number one, who had us as your number one podcast, or even in your top five podcasts.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
I know Rowan outed themselves as being being our top fan. So shout out to Rowan.
Yeah, and if you want to come help guest host quarter two or quarter three or quarter four, let us know.
Will.
The doc's already made, so you just got to look at it. you don't got to do any work.
I'm crying.
So quarter two will be posted soon. Today, like we said, today's the 26th of December. This episode will be posted before the first of the year. We are recording quarter two on the first of the year, so it'll be posted shortly thereafter. So you're going to get some Triplicity content over the next couple of weeks coming as we do our 2024 quarterly forecast, which is a plan that we just made today in the last 20 minutes. So
I'm crying. That's how the best things happen, though. And it's got to be in the moment. And it worked out. Timing was right. Everything's good.
All right. Any final thoughts on quarter one?
Quarter one, all kind of a build up to the eclipse.
Yeah.
Like we had a nice strong January start.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of
foundations in January.
Yeah. Silent until the eclipse at literally the very beginning of the solar year.
Yeah.
Anything that you're most excited for, Deja? I know you said in quarter one, Mars Venus conjunction in Aquarius was your thing. Anything else that you can think of?
I would say Mars and Venus both in. I mean, Mars and Venus in Capricorn and Aquarius, both the whole little
that
section.
Transit.
Yeah. I really like that.
And I'm really excited for that Leo moon that we talked about.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's like something that wasn't really on my radar before this conversation and talking it through with you all. I'm like, ooh,
kind of cute. Yeah.
I agree. We get a few cute benefic enclosures of the moon. Astroseek has everything, as you know, but has a benefic and malefic enclosure of the moon calendar.
Ooh.
Which is like wildly amazing and helpful. Shout out to Peter.
Yeah, shout out to the best website for astrology.
The best astrology website ever created. We love you. Got some really nice benefic enclosures. There's one in Leo at the very beginning of January that's really cute. And there's one. Where's the one other one? Oh, there's the ones that are in Leo are very, very nice. There's two. There's one at the beginning of January and one at the beginning of March. And both of them are actually really nice because you get the aversion to Saturn. They're just cute and fun. And we love.
Lovely.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm looking at 2023. I apologize.
I'm crying.
I'm so sorry. I lied to all of you. Guys, I have Rahu in the first. Sorry.
It wouldn't be Triplicity if we didn't spread misinformation.
Wow, so people with Rahu in the first are liars? Or is it just in Vedic astrology?
In Vedic astrology, in the D9 chart, planets that you have in the ascendant, the fifth and the ninth, are planets that you are inherited with really good skills for.
Interesting.
And I have Rahu in the first. So that's why I'm such a good liar.
I don't remember where Rahu is in my D9 chart.
Neither do I.
I think yours isn't. I think you have K2 in the first of your D9.
Mm.
Which is why you're.
And I have K2 in the first of my natal.
Yeah. Oh, no. Then that's not true. Never mind. I lied to you. Okay. Once again, Rahu in the first. I'm a liar.
Right.
There's a benefic enclosure. Oh, it's the one in Scorpio that I really, really like. That is actually right after the eclipse. So after the moon moves from Libra into Scorpio, there's a benefic enclosure that happens between the moon opposing. So the moon will oppose Jupiter and then will trine Venus in Pisces.
Mm-hmm. On that like leap day. Is that on
it's
February 29th?
It's March 28th.
Oh, okay. March. February. The Libra eclipse. So, yeah.
So that one is actually really, really cute, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That double Kazemi, that's also very exciting.
Double Kazemi, very fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
Mercury, Saturn, Kazemi, that's cool. And the last, there's cool stuff. The last Pluto Sun conjunction.
Stop it.
I say conjunction. I didn't say Kazemi this time. But the last
one, Jared was being earnest.
The last one in Capricorn. That's kind of cool.
300
cool for our lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, I really did forget about Saturn, Mercury, Kazemi. That's going to be something.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
May you
have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.